بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اتبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Praises be to Allah and may His peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad, His family, His companions and whoever follows Him righteously until the Day of Judgment. My brothers in Islam, a couple of weeks ago we talked about Jannah. We talked about different things there that all bring us eternal joy and happiness, and we talked about how there is no negative feelings there and only positive ones, only enjoyment and bliss that lasts forever. And just like our goal in this life should be to reach Jannah, it should also be our goal to avoid entering Jahannam, the hellfire. And in order for things to be balanced, and our religion, our deen, it's all about balance and moderation. So it's appropriate, after having talked about Jannah, to talk about its opposite, Jahannam, the hellfire. A believer should live this life having everything balanced. And he should have a hope that is also balanced, a hope that he will enter paradise and the fear of entering hellfire. These things have to be balanced. And some scholars have compared this hope and fear of a believer that he should have, they have compared it to the two wings of a bird. If there is a problem with one of them, this bird can't fly. The same way, a believer needs to have both hope and fear in this life. The hope of entering Jannah and the fear of entering hellfire. If one of them is gone, or if one of them is much weaker than the other, then that person might have a serious problem. So first, if a person has so much hope for entering Jannah and no fear whatsoever of entering hellfire, and it comes to a point where he is convinced that he will enter Jannah and there is no way he will enter hellfire, that person can easily stray away from the straight path with his actions as well. He always thinks about how forgiving and merciful Allah is and forgets that he is also severe in punishment, which is also one of the attributes of Allah. So it's easy for him to commit sins and think that whatever he does, Allah will forgive him anyways, and he will not have to spend any moment in hellfire. So on the other hand, we have another person who has given up all his hope for Jannah and is absolutely sure that he will enter hellfire. And this type of approach is also a very, very dangerous one, because when a person has reached the point where he has lost all hope, there is nothing that will stop him from doing more sins. In a state of having despaired of the chance of forgiveness, he will just think that, okay, you know, I will just enter hellfire anyways. So why not at least enjoy this worldly life a little bit and do whatever my desires, you know, want me to do. But no matter how much a person has sinned, he should never ever think that there is no way he could be forgiven, because Allah has said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, which means, say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. So there has to be a balanced approach to all this, whereby a person has both the hope for Jannah and the fear of entering hellfire. And after having talked about Jannah the last time, which I hope made us all more eager to work for it and also increased our hope in reaching it, then today we'll be focusing, inshallah, on the fear part and talking about Jahannam. And I'll try, inshallah, to give you a little description of what Jahannam is like, which can, inshallah, help us all in grasping better the severity of the matter, and thus make us all avoid doing things that take closer to it and help us do more things that take us away from it, that will distance us from it. So the hellfire is a place of the most extreme suffering, the most extreme pain of every level that you can imagine. Physical, mental, spiritual, everything, every kind of pain and suffering and torment. And when the hellfire is brought, and the hellfire, my brothers, it's not just a pit where people are thrown into. It is a roaring, raging beast that is held down by 70,000 chains. In the end of every chain, there is 70,000 angels. So imagine how much strength and power it requires to hold this Jahannam down. And there is no scene more terrifying on the day of judgment than that scene when the hellfire is brought. And the hellfire is a place of ultimate punishment. Some people get, you know, some people get tortured in this life in unimaginable ways. And sometimes we hear about these things in the news and we're like, you know, terrified about this. But no matter how badly a person is tortured in this life, and no matter how severe the methods used, it will never come even close to that which people of hellfire will experience. And because there is nothing worse than the punishment and torture of hellfire, nothing more harsh, nothing can be more severe. Because Allah is the engineer of this punishment, and He has engineered your soul and your body, and He has engineered the punishment for your soul and your body if you take the wrong path. And the minimum punishment, the minimum, the least punishment in the hellfire is that the person will be forced to stand on two pieces of coal, two pieces of burning coal, hot burning coal of hellfire. And his brain will start boiling from the heat of that. The heat will travel from your feet all the way up to your brain until it starts boiling. And that's not the only bad news. The bad news is that this person, he will be convinced beyond doubt that he's receiving the worst punishment of hellfire. Although in reality, he's receiving the least punishment compared to what Allah has prepared for others in hellfire. So hellfire, my brothers, it's a very serious matter. And you can't enter hellfire with the bodies we have. You just evaporate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He redesigns your body. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes the people who enter the hellfire saying that ضرس الكافر أو ناب الكافر مثل أحد وغلظ جلده مسيرة ثلاث. The back tooth or one of the teeth of a disbeliever in hellfire will be the size of the mountain of Uhud. And the thickness of his skin is as thick as the distance a horse rider would need 3 days to cover. So it's unimaginably huge, like the people in hellfire. It's unimaginable. So not only is hellfire unimaginably huge, but also its inhabitants. But why so? So that they could taste more of the punishment. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Indeed, which means, indeed those who disbelieve in our verses, we will drive them into a fire. Every time their skins are roasted through, we will replace them with other skins so they may taste the punishment. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted in might and wise. So when a person's skin in the hellfire burns away, Allah replaces it with another skin, with another layer of skin. He recreates your skin. And for one purpose. And what's that purpose? So that he may taste the pain again and again. And I would like you to imagine, brothers, and also like myself, I should imagine this, all these things that I say here is also for myself. So I would like us all to imagine being burnt in the fire of this dunya, this worldly life. Even if you just put your hand over fire in this worldly life, you almost immediately have to take it away. Just because you cannot bear the heat. But hellfire is 70 times worse than the fire of this dunya, 70 times worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Uqida 'ala an-nari alf sanatin hatta ihmarrat." ثم أوقد عليها ألف سنة حتى بيضت ثم أوقد عليها ألف سنة حتى سودت فهي سوداء مظلمة. Which means hellfire or hell had been lit for 1,000 years until its flames became red. Then again it was heated for another 1,000 years till its color became white. Still again it was burnt for further 1,000 years and its white color flames turned pitch black. So the fire of hellfire is not red or white or yellow like we're used to seeing in this world, the flames. But the flames of hellfire are black, dark black. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about a man, يُؤْتَ بِأَنْعَمِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The most luxurious person who lived in this life from the people of hellfire will be brought forward on the Day of Judgment. This person that was happy, everything was easy for him. He never had a day of hardship in his life. This guy had everything he ever desired. He had women, he had money, a luxurious home, friends, love, name it. He had all of it. health, he had everything. Everything the dunya can offer. Everything was good in his life. But he is destined to go to hellfire, and Allah will dip him for just a moment in hellfire. فَيُصْبَغُ فِي النَّارِ سَبْغَ ثُمَّ يُقَالُ. Then it is said to him, after dipping him in the hellfire for just a moment, it is said to him, have you ever seen any sort of goodness? Have you ever experienced any luxury? And the man will swear and say, لا والله يا رب. No, in the name of Allah, O my Lord. He says he has never seen any ease, any comfort, any luxury in his life. Because just 1 second in hellfire, just one moment. So imagine if you are sentenced for thousand years in hellfire, or just 1 year, one day. Even the smallest test in this dunya, we can't handle it. If it's some worldly problems, some suffering, subhanAllah, we can't handle it sometimes. So imagine handling the fire of hell, subhanAllah. So those of us who are having the hope to leave hellfire one day, and we're thinking that, okay, I might be in hellfire for some time for some of my sins, but I know that everyone who has some faith in their heart will be taken out of it eventually, so, you know, I'll be fine. But I'm sorry, but you have no idea, no idea what you're playing with, no idea what you're risking here, because you're risking it fire in which time has no meaning. Even if it's 1,000 years and you'll go to Jannah after that, even if it's just a week or just 1 day, you know, it's enough to destroy you completely. Just 1 second. So my dear brothers in Islam, these people in hellfire now are burning. They've been given clothing made out of some type of fire. They've been given food, but when they eat it, they choke on it. And as Allah says in the Quran, the intestines disintegrate. They drink certain fluids that when they bring their faces close to the dish, the skins of their face begin to burn and it melts into the bowl. There are so many descriptions that no heart can ever imagine. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about their state now. وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. They are screaming therein. And this word, يَسْتَرِخُونَ, usually there's a word, يُنَادُونَ, they call out. But here Allah says, يَسْتَرِخُونَ. And this means, like, it's not just calling out, but it's like a scream, a disturbing and terrifying sound of a scream. And such screams, like maybe some of us can hear us, you know, in nightmares sometimes. And they try their best to do these screams in horror movies. So Allah says, وَهُمْ يَسْتَرِخُونَ فِيهَا. They scream with these disturbing, terrifying sounds of scream therein. Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he used to say, أكثر ذكر النار فإن حرها شديد وإن قعرها بعيد. Which means, remember hellfire a lot, because its heat is severe and its depth is very deep. Its bottom is very, like, far away. And the jewelry there is chains. The jewelry in hellfire is chains and steel. The drink in there is pus, you know, stuff coming out for people's wounds. And it's also hot boiling water. Allah says, وَأَن يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ. And if they call for relief, they will be relieved with water like murky oil, which scalds their faces. But the feelings in hellfire, they will stay the same in a way. Don't think in hellfire you won't have any hunger. Don't think you won't have, you know, a need for food. In hellfire, you will feel the pain and the hunger like you've never felt before. You get thirsty like you've never felt thirst before. But when you're hungry, your food is zaqum. And what is zaqum? It's a tree which Allah created in hellfire. Its roots are in the bottom of hellfire, feeding off the sewage of hellfire, all the sweat and all the blood and all the burnt skin, all of that. And the fruit that comes on this tree, Allah says, طَلْعُهَا كَأَنَّهُ رُؤُوسُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Its emerging fruit is as if it was heads of the devils. And the Prophet ﷺ has said in a hadith, if a drop of zaqum were to be dropped on the earth, it would ruin the livelihood of the people of this world. So how about those who have no food other than it? Meaning zaqum. So imagine, subhanAllah, this being your food for disobeying Allah. Allah says, فَإِنَّهُمْ لَآكِلُونَ مِنْهَا فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ. And indeed, they will eat from it and fill with it their bellies. And once you have filled your stomach with this zakum, you will feel extreme thirst. You will ask for water. ثُمَّ إِنَّ لَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لَشَوْبًا مِّنْ حَمِيمٍ. Then indeed, they will have after it a mixture of scalding water. So you will be given hot water, boiling hot water, hellfire temperature. So even the food and water is part of the punishment. So there is no rest, no comfort. So the people of hellfire will then try to call out to the people of heaven, but they will not be allowed to reach them, except in one way. Allah describes this in the Quran, and this conversation between a person in heaven and a person in hellfire. Here is the first bit of that conversation, and this is in the beginning when they fall into hellfire. They're still new to this. And they remember that they used to have people around them in this life who were believers. They had like a neighbor, a classmate, a colleague, acquaintance, a family member, a relative, etc. So they will say to the angels, "We used to know some believers, so ask them, talk to them, maybe they can help us." So then the angels of heaven come to the people of heaven, and the people of heaven also remember that they had some colleagues and neighbors, etc. in this life, but they were disbelievers and criminals, and they would hurt the believers. They had wronged the believers. They had mocked the believers. So the angels say to them, "What would you like?" They will say, "We want to know what happened to them. We don't see them amongst us here in heaven." And then Allah says to the believers, قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. Allah says, "Do you want to have a look, see what happened to them?" And the believers will say, "Yes." And this ayah came down in relation to two people existing in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of them was a man of God, and the other one mocked him. So one called him to the wrong way, and the other one called him to the right way. And the one who called him to the wrong way almost influenced him so much that the one who was calling to the right way was almost about to follow him. But the one who was on the right path, he took a stance and turned away from this man. And Allah sent down a verse in relation to these two. So he says, Allah will call out to this man and say, "Do you want to know what happened to your companion? He used to call you to the wrong way." He says, "Hal antum muttali'un? Do you all want to have a look?" And Allah says in relation to him, فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. And then he will look and he will see him in the midst of hellfire. And he will see that person in hellfire. He looks ugly, he looks terrible. Charcoal, burnt. And Allah describes that they will have all of their eyeball. The whole eyeball will look like a terrifying blue. Not just the iris, but the whole eyeball. There's no white in it, just a terrible bluish. The whole eyeball. So they will have a terrible look and they will call out, "You know, it's me, it's your friend." And the angel will say, it's so and so. And the person of heaven will say, قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. He says, "By Allah, you almost made me fall. You almost made me fall with you. You almost ruined me." And he also says, وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ. He says, "If not for the favor of my Lord, I would have been of those brought in hell." So people in hellfire, they will start screaming out. One day, 2 days. So you're wearing clothes of hellfire. Your food is zakum. Your drink is hamim, boiling hot water. And you're in a dark place. There's no one to talk to. No friends. You know, nobody to complain to. Your bedding is hellfire. No rest, no comfort, no grace, nothing. And people will start screaming out to the guardians of hellfire. Allah says in the Quran, عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ. Hellfire has 19 guards, angels, who are specifically designed for hellfire, the torture. All they know is torture. And their leader is Malik, one of these angels. And he has never smiled since the day the hellfire was created. And when the Prophet ﷺ, he went to the heavens in the Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he was greeted there by all the angels, but this is the only angel that didn't smile. Everyone else, when they greeted him, they smiled to him, but this is the only angel who didn't smile. And Malik just said, "Wa alaykum as-salam." to the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, Prophet ﷺ, he asked, who is this? And Jibreel alayhi salam said, he's Malik. And he has never smiled since the day hellfire was created. And how can he, for all the things he knows? So people will start screaming, squealing and begging for mercy and trying to get something from these guards. And I really want you all and myself for, you know, just for once in our lives, imagine yourself in this torture. Imagine yourself in hellfire. That's how you make the hearts move. That's how we realize how dangerous neglecting deen is, subhanAllah. So imagine yourself there. And don't believe the shaitan's promise that it's something far-fetched, that it's something that never will happen to us. But the truth is, we are in danger. So no one is safe. And imagine yourself in hellfire in this situation and you're begging for help. And Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ فِي النَّارِ لِخَزَنَةِ جَهَنَّمَ ادْعُوا رَبَّكُمْ يُخَفِّفْ عَنَّا يَوْمًا مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. And those in the fire will say to the keepers of hell, supplicate your Lord to lighten for us a day from the punishment, just one day. So my brothers, people will beg and beg from the guards not to leave, not to get out of hellfire. They don't ask for that, but their extreme hope is, their maximum hope is that just to have one day off, just to have a break for one day. Just give me like a break, please, just for one day. That's what they're asking for. And after Allah knows for how long, the angels, the guardians will respond and say, قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْتِيكُمْ رُسُلُكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالُوا بَلَا قَالُوا فَدْعُوا وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. They will say, did there not come to you your messengers with clear proofs? قَالُوا بَلَا. They will say, yes. They will say, yes, the prophets came to us with pure knowledge. The scholars gave knowledge to us. They passed on knowledge to us. But they neglected it. And subhanAllah, we are fooled by this dunya and its luxury and its fake enjoyment. We're fooled by shaitan in our desires. قَالُوا بَلَى. They said, yes. Yes, they came. They came with the proofs and everything. But please, give us help. Please help us. قَالُوا فَدْعُوا وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي الضَّلَالِ. They will reply, then supplicate yourselves, but the supplication of the disbelievers is not except in error. So the angels will say, you know, supplicate as much as you want, beg for as long as you want, but all of your dua is gone. It's nothing. It's a waste. So there's no mercy. So can you imagine being in a situation where there's no mercy and no hope? And put yourself in this situation and this is really important, compare this situation with the stupid, insignificant happiness or small happiness or fun or enjoyment you have from disobeying Allah, from doing something that displeases Him, from doing a sin, something He has forbidden. No sane person, no one who has, you know, a working brain would prefer this quick passing enjoyment of this dunya that we get from sinning against our Creator over 1 second of torture there in hellfire. Over being in that situation, subhanAllah. The people there are in unbearable pain. They think, you know, there has to be something. But day in and day out, you're in torture. It's dark. Every type of torture has accumulated upon you. Physical, psychological, everything. From all sides, you're getting this pain and torture. But people will still have hope. So they will start calling on to Malik himself, the leader of the guardians of hellfire. They will ask him. They will ask him to ask Allah to give them another chance. Allah says, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقَضِيَ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. And they will call out, O Malik, ask your Lord to perish us, to destroy us. You know, we don't want to live anymore. Why? Are they really living? Allah describes their state of living in the Quran. لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. The person in hellfire does not die in it, and neither does he live. And the Prophet's companions, they asked about it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like, what does it mean? They understood, like, the person will never die, but you know, how come he also never lives. So he replied that they will not live a life that you can call a good life. You'd rather be dead. That's how bad this life is. And Allah says in the Quran, وَيَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتُ مِن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. Death comes to him from every place, but he's not dead. So all the reasons why a person would die or should die will come to these people in the hellfire. All these elements that normally would cause you to die in this life will come to them in hellfire and more, but they don't die. They're supposed to die, but they will not die. All they feel is the torment and the pain of death, but they won't die. So then in the hadith, it says in a relation to this ayah, O Malik, ask your Lord to just destroy us. We don't want to exist anymore. So in the hadith, it says that the reply comes to them after 1,000 years. They're waiting anxiously for that reply. Can you imagine this anxious hope that you will now finally be destroyed? And the reply comes to them, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You are to stay in there forever. So the people, my brothers, they're in depression. The pain, the torture, it's unheard of, it's unimaginable. And they start calling on to Allah. The only one who can hear us now is Allah. And the people will start calling upon Allah. And all the non-Muslims, the people who denied Allah's existence, people who were so arrogant to submit to their Creator, now they're pleading and begging, and sinners that neglected Allah. You know, people who used to say in this world things like, you know, don't tell me what to do, I'm free. I don't want to pray. You know, I know it's haram, but I still do it anyways. It's none of your business. But when these people are in hellfire, they're crying, and all this arrogance they had in this life, it's gone. They will start calling upon Allah and they will say, رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْهَا. Oh, our Lord, take us out of it. Take us out of this hellfire. But what will Allah's reply be? He will say, قَالَ اخْسَأُوا فِيهَا وَلَا تُكَلِّمُونَ. He will say, remain despised therein and do not speak to me. So Allah will even deprive them of the ability to ask of him. A couple of verses before that, Allah says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ آيَاتِي تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَكُنْتُمْ بِهَا تُكَذِّبُونَ. Which means, weren't my verses read upon you and you used to deny them? And so now Allah doesn't even let them speak to him. They were given every chance in this dunya, a chance upon chance upon chance. With every chance you promised Allah, never again, I will never do this again, I will never go back to the sin again. I will follow the right path. 2 days later, you're back to square one. And what would make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala believe that now we have really changed? So there's no more chances, no more hope. So why, my brothers, would someone choose to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this risk? The risk of having to handle this kind of punishment. The risk of displeasure of Allah and all this humiliation. And shaitan will not help you. Shaitan will not say, I'm with you now. You know, people will start begging even shaitan for help. That's how desperate they are. You want to blame someone. You know, just like in this dunya, when something happens to you, you know, some problems you have, you want to point fingers. You know, you want to put the blame to someone else. And in hellfire, people will start blaming shaitan. They will start accusing him. But shaitan, you know, he will just say to them, are you serious now? You know, you're coming to me now? And they will start then blaming other people. The weak will start blaming the strong. And this famous conversation between the weak and the strong, the weak will say to the strong, you know, you led us. You were our leaders, our role models. Take some of the adab, take some of the punishment from us. But no, every man at that time is for himself in hellfire. And then when everything is said, people will start blaming shaitan, and shaitan will say, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ. Shaitan will say, Allah promised you the true promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ وَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. And I promised you, and I broke my promise. I was lying about this. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. And I had no authority, no power over you. إِلَّا أَن دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبَتُمْ لِي. Except for that I called you and you responded to me. People themselves responded to shaitan. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So don't blame me, but blame yourselves.
I
will not help you, and you will not help me. Every man is for himself. So, subhanAllah, why leave the path of deen? Why leave the path of Allah and follow shaitan and follow his promises? Why follow this dunya that is not lasting and lose in akhirah? So why? Why for some insignificant short enjoyment, you know, some kind of short pleasure and fun here in this dunya, you risk going to the punishment of Allah in hellfire, subhanAllah. So if we really knew, like if we really knew what we are risking here with, if Allah would just bless us with seeing hellfire even just for one time before we die, we would not disobey Allah, subhanAllah. So the hellfire, my brothers, It's something that is not to be taken lightly. And as we conclude, there is just one last important point I'd like all of us to pay attention to. A lot of the reasons why Muslims end up in hellfire for a while, they are the sins that we take for granted. You know, they're forbidden things, but they're not major sins. And we don't consider them as important. We say, you know, it's just a sin, it's all right. You know, it's just a little bit. It's just a kiss, it's just a look. Just a lie, just a little theft, you know, just once, it's okay. But you keep doing it, you keep repeating it, and that's the danger. So the Prophet ﷺ also warned us and told how many of the people of his ummah will enter hellfire because they take minor sins for granted. And therefore it becomes like a ritual, it becomes like a habit for that person. So some people have false hope, you know, God will forgive me. God will surely forgive me, you know. But that's very dangerous. God cannot be fooled. So we ask Allah to save us from hellfire. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min ghadabik wa min an-nar. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min an-nar. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min an-nar. Allahumma najjina min an-nar. Allahumma najjina min an-nar. O Allah, forgive us. Keep us away from the sins that make us enter into hellfire. O Allah, keep us away from hellfire and our sins. And we ask Allah to forgive us all our sins. He is the most merciful, the most forgiving. And we ask Allah for paradise and meeting there with him and his messenger. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.